Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, EPJ, I'm here in Echo Park. Where are you, man?
I'm still in Hollywood.
We'll roll with that. Hello, everyone. This is Mike Wagner, and me and our good friend
EPJ, Echo Park Jimmy,
who you know and love from the Echo Park Jimmy party line, are filling in for Jim and Patrick today, who are taking a well-earned day off. And
they deserve it.
They do. They do. They work so hard. Today, we're going to talk about a band that EPJ and I talk about all the time and we love. And we thought what we would do is just kind of give a brief flyover of some of their songs. And maybe it's a band you know and might go back to. And the name of the band is Concrete Blonde.
Woohoo!
And, yeah, we just love them. And we thought we'd just go through it with you guys. So, how did Concrete Blonde get their name, EPJ?
Well, when they got signed to IRS Records in 86, they had some other boring name, and Michael Stipe suggested Concrete Blonde.
They've had a bit of a rotating cast over the years, but mainly there's two main folks in the band. The first one is Jeanette Napolitano. She's the singer and she plays bass. And the other one is James Mankey and he plays guitar. And they've had different drummers over time, and but those two are the main folks.
But Jeanette started out on bass, didn't she?
Yeah, Jeanette started out on bass, and they've had a bass player to play on the road, so Jeanette can just be the lead singer. But for the last, every time I've seen him like seven times, Jeanette has played bass. And so one thing that me and EPJ were talking about earlier was like their sort of sonic sound. You want to talk about that, EPJ, a little bit?
Before we get to her voice, it's like a two-pronged sound. It's like the heavy, thundering, rolling bass in some of their best songs. And yep. And then the kind of the unique guitar sound that Mankey gets out of his guitar.
Exactly. He's got like a really sort of crunchy sound when he plays chords a lot. And then his leads are actually very, very crisp and clean and distinct and really, really excellent guitar player.
Because I know Jim and Patrick love the, you know, kind of like the sweet song, but then you dig deeper into the music or the lyrics and it's darker. I think that's why, yes, Stipe said Concrete Blonde was a good name, because it's like concrete, something hard, and then something softer. You know what I mean? So
it's exactly. And to get to the second main part of the band is her voice. And her voice is just, I think, is the thing everybody keeps coming back to. It is just magnificent. And
like their sound, it's got two kind of parts to it. You know, it's got low register, and then she has a perfect high register that she doles out just at the perfect moment in every song.
Right. Right. That low end is like, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of husky and very, in many ways, kind of not sensuous, but just very
honest.
Yes.
And, you know, what was I saying? Authentic. And
yes, authentic.
Affecting.
And then she lets loose, and it's just amazing.
And it's a howl. It's almost, yes, like it sears right into that perfect, you know, part of, you know, I was saying Janis Joplin, but, you know, where it kind of, yeah, goes from, you know, folk singy, but honest, to like, whoa, this is really cutting through.
The first song we're going to talk about is from their first album, True, which was released in 1986. You want to talk about EPJ? Still in Hollywood.
Well, it's kind of a theme that recurs. They're a Los Angeles band. I think we mentioned they got signed in 86, but they were playing from 82 onwards. And a lot of her songs could double as, you know, like lyrically, just little poems about Los Angeles. And Still in Hollywood takes kind of like a 70s kind of like New York Dolls punky riff, but amps it up and just, you know, the line I was just quoting earlier was, I was walking down the street early this morning and the silver drops of rain hung in the trees. just really, it, all her songs, I'll get to some of the other lyrics later about LA, but it's, you always feel like you're literally walking with her in Los Angeles, and you feel the grit on the streets of Hollywood.
The next song we want to talk about from that album is, if a lot of times, you know, people, you know, I love doing this thing, like, what's your favorite song? I don't care. Like, the great thing about making lists is they're fun to make and they don't matter. it's just fun. But anyway, one of my favorite, probably my favorite Concrete Blonde song is also off that album, and it's called Cold Part of Town. And this is one of those songs where she sings and it's like her voice is just really affecting, and you just feel her. The distance between her and the person she's sort of reaching out to in the call.
Dear darling, haven't seen you in a while. I found some change in my pocket. I thought I'd take a chance and die. I'm alright. Just right now, a little down. It gets chilly over here. It's a cold part of town. Dear darling, you were right about them all. When my luck went bad, they never came around the car. That's alright, 'cause I don't miss them.
So the next album they released was an album called Free, and it was released in 1989. And the lead-off track from that album, as EPJ was talking about earlier, being with LA, she's always when she does it live, she always references, she says her city, and she talks about LA. And this song is a really great example of James Mankey's guitar work, where it's got these just really just crunching chord structure, but his lead is just fantastic. And this song is called God is a Bullet. Any thoughts on God is a Bullet, EPJ?
I played the heck out of this. I just started as a college radio DJ and love Still in Hollywood, because I wanted to become EPJ and move to Hollywood. But then this album came out, and you know, I think this was their first big, like, quote unquote hit. For some reason, Still in Hollywood didn't technically break through big, but this was a big college radio hit.
We'll be right back. sitting on the back of the chair. It's like a moment frozen forever there. Mom and Dad had a lot of big plans for their little man. So proud. Mama's gone crazy cause her baby's cut down by some teenage cop chase. War out of bounds. It was the wrong place, wrong time, wrong end of a gun. Son!
Also on that album is, you know, we kind of summed up, they have like really intense punk kind of rock songs with loud guitars, and they have some good ballads, but they do have really good mid-tempo rockers, and yes, Happy Birthday is one of them. But this is also about, this really speaks to me about, you know, the early, you know, a lot of times when you get to L.A., you think it's all glamorous, but your first place is usually kind of a crappy apartment on the fourth floor that you have to walk up to with no elevator. And, you know, she's talking about smoking out the window and listening to news on the radio. Like, I still have memories of living in a crappy apartment in Glendale and, like, probably listening to this album. And it's like, you know, because it's like, you're like, is it a birthday song? Well, not kind of, but it's kind of like a happy birthday song when you're by yourself and you just have, you're just alone in LA and you're looking, your dreams still aren't fulfilled and you're smoking out the window because you're not supposed to smoke in your apartment. So,
and it's also what you're talking about with a bit with the lyrics earlier, where it's like the song is kind of, it's kind of like this, got this really great kind of almost not up feeling, but it's like, it's kind of, you know, kind of bouncy, but the lyrics are actually pretty dark, right? You know,
right. They're like, but anyway. Like some of their best work, you know, she brings the pain with, you know, the hook. So it's catchy, but you feel the sadness too.
And also just, this is a great example. She harmonizes with herself on this and really
Mike
fantastic.
Loves the harmonies in this.
Oh, love them. Great.
Well, outside in the hall, there's a cat fight. It's just after midnight. I guess I'll be alright. I'm laying out on the floor, drunk and poor. How much longer, how much more? I'll rock me to sleep, strong and deep. Screaming cats, they give me the creeps. But aside from all that, I feel no pain. Staring up at the ceiling stain. Me crazy, but not right now. I'm high as a cloud, I'm soft and gray and lazy. Smoking out the window, feeling far away. News on the radio. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday.
So after Free, the next album was, if you know, if you've heard a Concrete Blonde and you only heard one song, it was probably, or one album, it was probably the Bloodletting album. And the song that was a bit of a minor MTV hit, and I think actually may have made the top 40, is a song called Joey, which many people probably have heard of. Many of the Rock in the Suburb audience has probably at least heard of, and if they've heard a Concrete Blonde, it's through that song.
If you love Concrete Blonde, you still love this song. But if,
yes, you
if
should.
You've barely heard of them, you've heard of this song. Even if you've not heard of them, you've probably heard this song. It's a famous song. It's been on a soundtrack, I think. But
yeah,
It's about being in love with an alcoholic. And this is right. where I, you know, I always love music trivia, and it, you know, it ties in a couple of ways to the band Wall of Voodoo.
Right.
But the main thing is it's about her friend in Wall of Voodoo who was an alcoholic, but she was still in love with him anyway. So, like we've been speaking of, like their bipolar nature of their songs, it's a really hooky, catchy, alternative radio hit, but it has like a bittersweet, really dark quality to the lyrics.
The other song we'd like to feature off that album is a song also written by Andy Preboy from Wall of Voodoo. It is a drop-dead, gorgeous, beautiful song. It's called Tomorrow Windy, and it's not an easy listen. It's really, really emotional. There's a studio version on Bloodletting, obviously, and Jeanette did a lot of backing vocals, and it's not overproduced, but it's produced very, very well. But there's also, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit, is there's a, when they re-released, they did the 20th anniversary of Bloodletting. There's a live version that they included, but it was like on a single, and it's just...
I would say it's a great entry into the band. If you can track down that little live EP, it had the track Roses Grow. It has
yep.
a really good version of Sky is a Poisonous Garden Tonight.
So good.
Which
so
is
good.
Also from Bloodletting. And then as that echoes into the night, she intros Tomorrow Wendy with just a really brief, searing, you know, story about about the subject matter. Yeah.
We won't try to replicate it because it's just too much, but if you can, go out and find it. It's really fantastic. But let's have a listen to the towards the end of the last bit of the live version. And then after they had a bit of success with Bloodletting, they did a cover version of a Leonard Cohen song called Everybody Knows. And it is, I just love this song. I just love this version. I love everything about this. It's so good. It's just so good. I love it. EPJ, any thoughts on Everybody Knows?
Well, it was from a mediocre Christian Slater soundtrack to pump up the volume. I shouldn't say a mediocre movie, a great soundtrack. And it's just, it doesn't necessarily better Leonard Cohen's version. It just adds another layer. And it's a great example of how she relies on that beautiful lower register, Everybody Knows, and growls along and really saves her howl for the very end. But you'll never forget that version.
Everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows that it's me or you. Everybody knows that you're there forever when you had a line or two. Everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe's still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. Everybody knows you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. Give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet. So many people you had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's the way it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. And everybody knows.
After Bloodletting, they released an album called Walking in London. And the album, at this point, the band really starts to falter. I mean, you could sort of feel like a build up on the first three albums. My personal favorite of the is Free. I think that album from start to end is really fantastic. But
I think the first three albums also had kind of carved out this really great sonic identity, you know.
Yes, I like, agree.
Where you're like, oh, I love their direction. Like, about the same time, Jellyfish was one of their peers. They had two albums that were really solid. Black Crowes had, you know,
Never heard of them.
Nope. They had two solid albums, and they had defined their album by the second album. And by Bloodletting, they had almost made, I'm telling you, Mike, it was almost the budding of the desert rock genre. The more I look at it, it was kind of more goth-centered with Bloodletting, and a lot of teen goths probably loved that song Bloodletting, and the lyrics, you are a vampire, and I'm just, baby, you're the walking dead. It's like an early use of the term walking dead. So, like, you know, people who love that kind of stuff love that. But then they kind of made a right turn. I don't know if you know how to define their sound after that, but it became, I don't want to say desert rock, but it's kind of more.
I would say that I think they made three really, really good albums. None of them really ever caught on. And I think it's really hard to keep going. I think it gets hard. I think it's hard on the band. Jeanette was the only songwriter in the band, although they did do Tomorrow Wendy.
And sadly, they had hits, but the people in L.A. thought that it was a sellout to do Joey, right?
Yeah, I mean, they just didn't seem to catch on, right? It just like not it didn't like hook and take off. It never did, and for whatever reason, and like.
But that being said, there is a really delicious track on that album called Someday.
Yes, Someday with the question mark.
Say it's been too hard, say it's been too long, say it's all too much, the thrill has long been gone. Well, I thought you could, yes, I thought you could, and you thought you could too. But it's a place in time, where the years behind are piled up high. But never mind, it's time to crash and burn or fly. And I thought you could,
You know I thought you could. You know I thought you could too. Go to sleep now. Go on, be away. Is it easy? Is it babe? And I hope, and I dream, and I pray that sometime.
At the first sort of, for lack of a better term, iteration of the band, they released an album called Mexican Moon. And I remember at the time, I kind of thought Walking in London was going to be it, because I remember kind of reading some stuff back in the day, and I thought, okay, there's not going to be more Concrete Blonde. I don't know if they'll do another one. And they did Mexican Moon. And it's kind of like Walking in London. It's got some really good bits, and it's Correct. Got some bits that just kind of plod. The songs are not good. There are some good stuff. There are some great, the vocals are always fantastic. You can always Right. listen to that. But you could just feel them losing energy. And they did end up releasing a couple more albums, like the late in the 2000s-ish area. And they're fine. But for all practical purposes, the band was pretty much over it at this point. And it was a good album. I saw them on this tour. I saw them on every tour from Bloodletting on. I've seen like six or seven times or something.
Yes,
like that.
We were sharing stories earlier live. About yep. how fantastic they are live.
Oh, so
I stalked
good.
Her and, after a show in Ann Arbor and made my date really angry. She just liked Joey. Like, we heard Joey. Can we go? I'm like, no, I want to wait in the alley for Jeanette and get her autograph. Like, why? Like, because she's a genius.
So so thanks to Jim and Patrick for letting us set in. And before we play out with the song, the title track from Mexican Moon, if you would like to contact Jim and Patrick, you can go to the website, find their email, mail in. Matt Windler will see it. He's a big friend of ours. We love him.
What do I like to do? EPJ likes to call the suburban party line
612-440-1984.
Oh, perfect.
And you can go on the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Instagrams, but
the
be
Friday
cool
night
like EPJ.
Hoot Nannies.
Oh, yeah. Come to the Friday Night Hoot Nanny. It's a hoot.
The Suburban and Festival at the festival yep. grounds.
Yeah, we'll probably have to cut that because this will probably be out after right. the festival, but that's okay. we'll just go. The festival is great. Oh,
that festival is great. We'll do two takes. That festival is great.
So, like I said, contact them, say hello. And when are you supposed to listen, EPJ?
Every day.
And how often do you call the suburban party line, EPJ? Every day?
Every 3 minutes when the recorder stops, and then you call back again.
Oh, if you haven't ever done it, go back and listen to the first EPJ episode. It's mwah, so good.
You're right. Too kind, Mike Wagners.
That was great. All right.
I'm EPJ.
I'm Mike Wagner, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks, Jim and Patrick. Bye.
Here we do things slow. Money art, a broken heart. Where did you want to go? Señor, por favor. To the Hotel Zona Rosa. What did I come here for? Oh, señor, I run. But the damage has been done. Miles and time away. And I have more than ever caught. I look up at the sky, I am tired, I uno, ducati, and thinking of you, under the Mexican moonlight, thinking
while the recording is still on, let me look at the recording. It's still working. Sibilance, sibilance.